Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
We're going to be doing a multi-part study, I don't know exactly how long, on spiritual warfare. Today we're going to begin that series with our adversary, Satan. I'm sure all of you are familiar that there's an enemy out there. I want to study him so that we know more about him. We'll be better equipped. There is a very real spiritual world around us. It's easy to get distracted in the busyness of life and forget that and live like it's not there. But the truth is, there is a very real spiritual world around us. We were created by an all-powerful God in 6 24-hour days, and God rested on the seventh. I don't just believe that, I know that. The evidence points to that. And we were created for His glory. These are the truths of all time. These are the truths of this world. These are foundational truths. So we must appreciate the spiritual aspect of this life. God wants us to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior and then go on to spiritual maturity. This is His plan. But that plan is constantly being opposed by the devil. And we must not ignore that. The devil is real, and he wants unsaved people to remain unsaved, and he wants saved people to become ineffective, frustrated, and discouraged. This is the reality of it. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is the battle. And it's very real. It's easy to get our eyes off of that battle and only see the things of this earth. We must remember that the things of this earth are motivated by the spiritual battle. We are not really wrestling against flesh and blood. True, there's a contest there, but what's driving it? This is what we must understand. We must not address simply the things of this life. We must take into consideration the reality of the spiritual world around us. Paul has taught us it is not necessarily with people. We're going to see that more as we get into this study. Rather, it's with spiritual forces that are behind the scenes. Therefore, we must properly identify the battle. Otherwise, we're not going to be effective. And we must apply our energies against the real battle. Sports teams quite often watch videos of other teams that they're going to be playing, so they understand them. Likewise, we must understand our adversary so that when we come up against him, which is daily, we're equipped, so that we can resist them. Remember, this world's going to pass away. Do you know something we have in common with every person that's gone before us? We're all going to die. Nobody is exempt. The day is coming. We will stand on the threshold of eternity. Spiritual part of life lasts forever. Therefore, what's the logical conclusion? Apply ourselves to spirituality. We must face the absolute fact the devil does exist, and number two, he exists and sets forth his energies to oppose us. Take a look at the words of Paul. He said in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Sometimes you feel hindered in life. It's very real. The devil is out to hinder you. And if the devil can hinder Paul, do you think he can hinder us? Yeah. And there are times you get frustrated in this life, and you must remember, there's a spiritual power out there. Now, Satan is not everywhere all the time. God is the only one who's omnipresent. But there are powers of hell, there's demon forces all about. And they are out to frustrate and to hinder us. We must understand so that we can successfully resist. Let me quote. I like this. One of the pastors said, "Before I say anything else, may I make it perfectly clear that there is a real live devil. There were three angels in the Bible who are specifically named, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Lucifer became the devil, Satan, that old dragon. If you live long enough, sooner or later, somebody's going to ask you, where'd the devil come from?" They will ask it something like this. If God is good and God knew that the devil was going to tempt Adam and Eve and that they were going to sin and plunge the whole human race into sin and bring all the suffering that we see in our world today, then why did God create the devil to begin with? That used to be a question that came through my mind quite often until I discovered that God did not create the devil any more than God created a sinner. God created an angel of light, gave him great authority, and he had great responsibility, but according to Isaiah 14, he was not satisfied with the responsibility that God gave him. He desired to exalt his throne above God's throne and to be like God, to be above God. As a result, he was cast down and he became the devil as we know him today. God created an angel of light. So the answer is simple. God did not create the devil. He created an angel, and an angel through his rebellion became the devil. Our main cause quite often in the Christian life why we fail is because we don't appreciate our adversary. We're not equipped for him. And he is very real and he is very powerful. Again, let me quote. Why is it so much easier to stay at home on Sunday than it is to go to church? Why is it so much easier to read the newspaper than it is to read the Bible? Why is it so much easier to sing the worldly songs than to sing Christian songs? Why is it so much easier to talk 15 minutes about other things than it is to witness? The reason is there's a devil. He makes it hard to read the Bible. He makes it hard to go to church. He makes it hard to witness. I've seen men who could sell vacuum cleaners and encyclopedias, magazines, and everything else, but they couldn't open their mouths one time trying to lead a soul to Christ. Why is it that a man can have the boldness to sell vacuum cleaners, but he has no boldness in witnessing? The reason is there's a devil. The devil doesn't care if you sell vacuum cleaners, but the devil cares if you get people saved. There's very real battle going on, and we're never going to be free from the opposition of the devil. But Satan hindered us. And so it is, there's this very real power. Do you believe in the devil? I like this little story. D.W. Whittle, whoever that is, tells of a man who came to Charles Finney and said, "Don't believe in the existence of a devil?" "Don't you?" said the old man. "Well, you resist him for a while, and you'll believe in him." "Go ahead. Stand for truth. You'll find the devil. It won't take long." Why would we ever want to know the devil? Because we'll never overcome him unless we know something of his sinister purposes, his devious tactics, and his universal influence. We need to know some things about him. He controls people. He throws thoughts in their minds. And so it is, even as we read Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, "But he," Jesus, "turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan." Wow! Because what came out of Peter's mouth was so wrong. He actually realized the real power driving Peter was Satan. "Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Peter was a saved man when that was said. The devil is the father of lies, and he masquerades as an angel of light. Take a look at John 8:44. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it." Liars! The devil lies all the time. The thoughts he put in your mind are lies. You need to understand that. As a Christian, you're going to get thoughts coming into your brain planted by the forces of evil. At the same time, you're going to have the Holy Spirit putting thoughts in your brain. You need to have the wisdom to discern between the two. And Satan has a universal influence. He's going all around the world. Now again, he's not omnipresent, but he certainly does go about this world. Look at Job 1:7. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." You cannot escape the devil. And by the way, why is he walking around the earth? He's looking to destroy Christians and their influence. He's looking to keep the unsaved in darkness. He never rests. I want you to get a very powerful point this morning as we think about the devil. Did you know the devil loves religion? He really does. I want you to consider his fall in Isaiah 14:13. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend unto the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." He's not against religion. He just wants to be the object of worship. Oh, he wants people to worship him. That's his goal. Why, look at what he tempted Jesus with in Matthew 4:9. "And he," Satan, "saith unto him," Jesus, "all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." He's not against religion. He just wants to be the object of it. And so it is, he often masquerades as a very religious person. And he's really what we would call a false prophet. We must be so careful of this. In the beginning, he wanted the worship, and even through Revelation. Take a look at Revelation 13:15. "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." He is going to pursue man's worship until he is finally bound in eternal hell. Satan wants the praise that is due only to God. Hence, Satan is not against religion. Satan is very much in favor of it. He's against truth. He's against mankind giving the glory unto God, who is the one that is only worthy of receiving praise. I want you to consider this as we think about this powerful adversary. 2 Corinthians 11:13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Boy, do they look good. However, verse 14, "No marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." This is why he is so incredibly deceptive, because he will look good. He will look wonderful. He doesn't jump out with horns and a pitchfork and a long red tail with an arrowhead at the end. He comes out beautiful. He looks like an angel of light. And he is as wicked could be, because he is a false image of the true God. He wants the glory that is due only to God. He literally transforms himself into an angel of light. Folks, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. And so are his prophets. They are false apostles, deceitful workers. They also are transformed into the apostle of Christ. Don't they look good? Don't they speak smoothly? But they mention the name of God. Yeah? Be wary. Look what Paul said earlier in that same chapter in verse 3, 2 Corinthians 11, "But I, Paul, fear that you people of Corinth, by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ." The devil is out to destroy the thinking of the people of Corinth, born-again people in that church. We must beware. The devil has not quit. He pursued the believers at Corinth. He is going to pursue the believers in Cape Baptist and every church around this world, that we would be deceived. And Paul is warning us of this. I want you to know this powerful truth too. Satan hates you. Again, let me quote, "Before you were born again, you were a slave of Satan. Everything you did, whether or not you admit it, you did it at the bidding of your master, the devil. The Bible says, sin hath reigned unto death." Romans 5:21, the old sin nature reigned unto death. Satan sat on the throne of your life. He controlled your life until you were saved. When you were saved, you were freed from the sin nature. The ties were broken. You're now in a position so that you do not have to obey everything Satan says. You are an escaped slave of his. And as an escaped slave, now you are a servant of righteousness. Satan doesn't like the fact that his slaves have escaped. He hates you. By the way, he hated you even while you were under his bondage. And he wanted you to never trust Christ as Savior and go to an eternal hell. Because he wanted the worship. He hates you. He hates people. He doesn't love people. Thus he hinders believers that we're not effective like he hindered Paul. One of the greatest things the devil does not want us to do is pray. He wants us to avoid that because it's the greatest power we have. One of the things that the devil knows is if we pray, we will be an awakened giant because there's power in prayer. The devil does not want you to pray. He wants you to be too busy. He wants your mind to wander. He doesn't want you to pray. A praying Christian is always a constant threat to Satan's plan in the world. Therefore, he wants to keep you from prayer. I want you to get this. Satan attacks believers, but especially a new believer. His chief attack is against a new convert, though he doesn't give up on an old one. You know why he wants to get a new convert? The best way is to kill a soldier, is to kill him when he's a baby. He attacked Moses as a baby. He attacked Jesus as a baby. The decrees went out, kill the baby boys before they even get out of the starting blocks. And so it is, Satan wants to frustrate and stop a believer before they get out of the starting blocks. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, to destroy. That's his purpose. Christ says in contrast, I come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. Satan has incredible power. He is called, take a look at it, he is called the God of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's how powerful it is. As the God of this world, he can literally blind people to the gospel. Sometimes don't you ask yourself, how can somebody think or do that? Because they're blinded. He's literally in their brain deceiving them. And he wants to keep the unsaved saved, but he wants also to discourage believers. Take a look at what he did to Peter. Luke 22:31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, that's Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed unto thee that thy faith fail not, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And so it is, Christ is pointing out the devil wants to take you and sift you. But he says, I didn't pray to take it away. I prayed that the attack of the devil would actually strengthen you to help your brothers. Hence, God can take all things to make it work together for good. Satan meant to do harm. God meant it for good. Who is the devil? He is our adversary. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant because your adversary, your opponent, the one that literally stands in opposition against you, and he is alive and well and very, very real. He is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He makes a lot of noise because he wants to scare us, but the truth is he's a defeated foe. At the cross, we got the victory over sin, and the devil roars to scare us. And does he scare us? You bet. And there are times we will tremble. We must look firmly to the cross and remember that God is still the all-powerful one. Three times in Scripture, Christ called Satan the prince of this world. We see that in John 12:28. Now is the judgment of this world come. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. We see it again in John 14:30, and we see it again in John 16:11. Three times he is called the prince of this world. He's called the God of this world. He is an incredibly powerful adversary. And we must realize that. If we don't realize that the devil is our adversary, that he's after us, then we are in trouble. If you don't realize that he's after your wife, your children, your family, your friends, you're in trouble. If you don't realize that he's out to destroy everything, then you're in trouble. If you don't realize the strength and the reach of your adversary, you're not going to resist him, and you're in trouble. If you don't recognize the power of your adversary, if you don't recognize who he is, if you don't realize he's a fallen angel, you're in trouble. He's the prince of this world, and he is out to destroy, and we must stand strong that we can resist him. Take a look at James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. He will flee. This is an introduction to this brief study that we're going to do, that we understand the spiritual battle and we truly appreciate the force of hell that is against us. Let us remember Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The real battle is not the government, your boss, your neighbor, whoever. They're flesh and blood. The real battle is spiritual. It's against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil does not hate religion. He wants to deceive you with religion. Therefore, not only is he transformed into an angel of light, but so are his prophets, ministers. They will give a good appearance. But the man sounds so convincing, but is it scriptural? Hold it against scripture. And there's coming a day that the glory is going to truly be given to Jesus. Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things of earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to glory of God the Father. And so it is, the devil wants that praise, but it is only worthy to Jesus Christ, the Son of God who paid the sin debt of the world. We must understand our adversary, otherwise we'd be deceived. A common tactic in warfare is to deceive the enemy. There have been many famous deceptions throughout history. Let me reflect on one. In World War II, the Allied forces controlled Northern Africa. Nazi Germany still held most of Europe. And so those troops now had to move from Africa into Southern Europe. The absolute obvious attack was Sicily. It was a complete no-brainer. But there was great German buildup there. And so it is, they had to find a deception. And the British intelligence came up with Operation Mincemeat. Why they called it Operation Mincemeat, I have no clue. They had to deceive the Germans to think that the attack would come somewhere else. So they came up with the plan of Major Martin. Major Martin didn't really exist. They were able to secure a cadaver. And they took everything from his uniform to the contents of his wallet and his pockets. And they made him look as real could be, that he was a victim of a plane crash. And really, they put him in a submarine, and they came up at night, about a mile offshore, off the Spanish coast, and they dropped his body in the currents where they know it would come ashore, and the Germans would find him. The truth is, they did find him. After the war, papers were secured, and they found out that it actually made it all the way to Adolf Hitler. And on Major Martin were the battle plans, or the deceived plans, of the attack on Greece. It was so convincing, they redirected their efforts to Greece, leaving Sicily and Italy vulnerable. They were deceived. Folks, the devil is even more deceptive than Major Martin was. He is going to appear as an angel of light. Where does it begin? It begins at salvation. Let that hand represent you, me. Let it represent every person that's ever been born. Let that billfold represent sin. Why do I do this all the time? Because someone could be here and not know the plan of salvation. Folks, there's nothing more important than where we will spend eternity. If you can't do this illustration, I would highly encourage you to learn it. Because it's the greatest way I know to share the plain truth of the plan of salvation. God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin, and every person has a sin debt on them. And there's nothing that we can do, there's nothing that any person can do in their flesh to satisfy this sin debt. And if we die with this on us, we will be separated from God for all eternity. The devil would love that. He doesn't want any to be saved, and God says He's not willing that any should perish. And there's nothing that we can do, and God knows our condition, and He provided the Savior, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who came to this earth, the only one who could satisfy sin debt because He was perfect, the perfect sacrifice, and when He was on that cross, He took the sin of the world, your sin, my sin. He took every person's sin. He gave up the ghost. His body was put in the tomb, and 3 days later, He rose again, paid in full. How do you go to heaven when you realize in the quietness of your mind, it's not me? It's nothing that I can do to satisfy that sin debt. I can do absolutely nothing. I can't contribute anything to it. I realize Jesus paid it all, Jesus alone. I trust His work. I trust His shed blood, His broken body. He paid my sin debt. It's not my good works and Jesus, it's Jesus only. And the moment you trust Him in the quietness of your mind, you're born again. Instantly, God knows your thoughts. The moment you believe, for God so loved you, He loved the world, but He hated the sin, that He gave His only begotten Son to pay the sin debt of the world, whosoever believes. Doesn't say be a Baptist. It doesn't say walk an aisle. It doesn't say take communion. It doesn't say join a church. Whosoever believeth in Him, His work of redemption, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the plan of salvation. That's where it all begins. And the devil stands in direct opposition. He does not want the unsaved to trust Christ, and he does not want believers to share that message and to be effective for the Lord.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.